Excellent. So, earlier, Basar Bodkin et Sachametz Leor Haner. So we have to, of course, pursue both, as we say, Lashonos of Or, Or Leor Basar, as well as Leor Haner. Rashi comments. Go ahead with the Rashi. Right, so apparently there's a debate. And the Ran happens to expand at this point, just to fill you in on what Rashi's alluding to. There are at least two other Gersos, either Li'or Arba'asar, or Or Arba'asar. So Rashi likes the Gersa of Or Li'or Arba'asar. And maybe we'll have a chance to come back to that point. There are some nuances, but that's a ways off. Or Li'or Basar. Okay, Li'or Haner. Go ahead, Boaz. Bigamara. Okay. So the Gemara is going to explain the rationale. So Rashi's already tipping his hand that this is something that we would really want to and need to explore, is what the role of the Ner is in the context of Bedikas Chametz. And of course, we have gone through the sugya of Bedikas Chametz and how it interacts with Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, and Tashbisu, so we have a fair amount of background, but we haven't done so much work, or really very much work at all, on the question of Or Haner, nor on the question of timing, Or Leor Basar. So, pedagogically, there are a couple different ways of going about this. I think the easiest thing is actually to start with the Or Haner, and then to begin to work backwards, and to use that as a kind of a window into the general topic of what Or Leor Basar actually is all about. So that's sort of the method that we're going to follow. So the Mishnah just makes a statement, which is not unusual for a Mishnah, but to have any real insight into what the Mishnah is driving at, for that, obviously, we'll have to cast a bit of a wider net. So why don't we take a look at the Tosefta. This, of course, is the next layer in terms of Tanaic material, a generation after Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Talmidim Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Chia, Rabbi Yoshaya, the Bryce and the Tosef. Okay, so here's the Tosefta. This is Aleph Aleph. Boaz, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, take it over. Right. So the Tosefta begins to give us, I think, an important perspective about Leor Haner. It wasn't just an example, but what impression do you kind of walk away with, Boaz, from the Tosefta?
That seems to be more symbolic.
Well, interestingly. Okay, what do you mean by symbolic?
Well, he's saying that the Ner is more related to these. I mean, in addition to it just being practical in the sense that it's a stronger light, he says that it's a zikar to Hashem.
Right, okay, so we'll definitely have to talk about that. This appears, it's cited by the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Right, so it does seem to have some kind of a broader significance in terms of being able to search things out, not just in a physical sense, but even in a spiritual sense, sort of like penetrating to the soul of a person. Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, all that is true. But Boaz, just to go back to something you said before, it would appear like the Tosefta has a certain orientation. You said in addition to, just want to go back to that?
That it seems more practical.
Okay, so that's really important, and I would agree. Shebedikas Haner Yafe Meruba. So, Boaz, just to push you a little bit further on this, you know, so the perspective of the Tosefta, if I were able, I don't know, to prove that there was something that provided better light, more consistent light, is more convenient in a particular setting. So what do you think the Tosefta would have to say about that? Is that...
I think he'd say you'd be able to use it instead
of... Right. It would appear that way. This line of Lefisha Bdika Saner, Yafe Meruba, does make it sound like that there's a practical dimension to Bodkenes HaChametz Leor Haner. You know, and once it's a matter of practicality, and we'll get here in a much fuller discussion, which of these is most kind of surprising to you? L'Or HaChama, L'Or HaLevana, which one sort of stands out? If you're just going to argue that it's based on practicality, as you suggested, and I think there's grounds for it, Mefisha Or HaNer Yafe Meruba, or B'dika HaNer Yafe Meruba, what stands out in terms of, like, you maybe scratching your head a little bit, is it really true? It's real? Yeah. So in general, in halacha, and this has all kinds of nafkamina and hilchos tzaras and other kinds of dine taharos, bein dam ladam, bein nega lanega. So the Or HaChama is considered to be the gold standard. So it could just be that Bedikas Chametz has some technical differences because it's the machbulos, the chorin, who's stuck in. But the more that you think it's practical, I think we would agree, the more there should be some degree of flexibility based on what the metzias actually is. Right? I think Boaz and I are really in full agreement about that. What did the Gra have to say about this? Just the Gra threw something else in. It wasn't just as opposed to the Or HaChama or the Or HaLevana or the Or HaKochavim, which isn't included in this Tosefta, but what did the... Go on. Yeah, Shimmy? Right. So you have a massive torch. And apparently the Nair is even better than that. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward. So obviously what I'm trying to drive at here in terms of interpreting the Tosefta is that theoretically at least there should be another option in terms of understanding the role of the Nair. Boaz, what would that be? And I think you're correct. The Tosefta gives us a practical orientation. B'dikas HaNer Yafe Meruba. It's very effective. What would another possibility be? Okay, right, that's definitely true, and hopefully we'll get to that. But before we get to anything, you know, too spiritual, you know, filo echad yoshev lo med shchina shruya imo, so it's always spiritual. But what would another possibility be? Anybody want to? Yeah, Avi, go ahead. Yeah, then it's a halacha. Maybe it's a gzeiras hakasav. That the way that bedikas chametz is done with an air. That's just the definition. It's not. So even if it were less practical, that's how you would have to do it that way. Not everything in halacha is about practicality. And Boaz, maybe for the reason you mentioned, maybe there are undefined, maybe even unknowable spiritual reasons for it, but this is what it means. That's the Takanas Chazal. Or if you will, that's the Din D'Oraisa, depending on which Rishon you subscribe to. But that Bedikas Chametz is done with an Or HaNer. That's just the definition of what it means. Right? There's a certain recipe to the Ketores. Right? There's certain spices, there's certain amounts of the spices, there's a certain way that they have to be prepared, and Yom Kippur, it's even more, daka mina daka. That's just the definition, that's what it is. So the Tosefta, Boaz, I think you and I were in full agreement that the Tosefta really takes a practical perspective. B'dika saner yafa meruba. But that's not the only perspective. I was just reading the Mishnah earlier. Abbas or bodkin es hachametz l'or haner. So the Mishnah doesn't say because, you know, or haner is, you know, the greatest form of light. Just says that's what you do. Rashi says bigamara mefarish taima, implying that, you know, maybe there's an actual reason for this. But you have a very different presentation in the Mishnah, certainly, than we do in the Tosefta. Okay, so that's really the opening chakira that we want to look at. Well, it'll lead to many other places. But do we think about the ner as a practical instrument? When you think about the ner as something which is obviously fundamental to bedikas chametz, what's going to be the most obvious nafgamina? We'll get to in a second, but the most obvious nafgamina, Ben Zion? Well, right. So as I said before, you know, if I could, somebody could come in and they, you know, they've got, I don't know, an LED strobe or something like that, you know, and I don't know, it pulsates into corners, and, you know, it radioactively labels the chametz, and, you know, you know it's been the people at Somet designed it, you know, these people at, you know, who are interested in halacha and technology. So, okay, that's definitely something that I alluded to before, but, Ilan? Okay, so right, so the question is, you know, is it li'ikuva? That's obviously very important. Yael's just a sort of, no? What's that? Well, I think it would suggest that it's sort of more definitional as opposed to practical. We might say that if it's practical, you might say, okay, that would have been the best way to do it. But okay, all right, I accept your critique. So what do you want to suggest an alternative? No, that's okay. If it's practical, when do candles tend to be most effective? Yeah, okay, so daytime is obviously a very important question. The more that you think that this is just practical, so that's the famous line, Shraga Bitihara, right? The candle during the daytime. We'll see that that line itself could be understood in multiple ways, but certainly this potential difference between the presentation of the Mishnah, Or Liarbas, or Bod Kinesa Chametz, Leor Haner, that's just what you do, that's the definition of Bdikas Chametz, and the Tosefta, which gets into this idea of Bdikas Haner, Yafim Meruba, explaining it in more practical, technocratic terms. So Bedika Bayom is obviously going to be a very important question, because I think most people would rightly assume that under normal circumstances, Bedika Saner is not particularly helpful. It's not like the Tosefta says Yafa Meruba during the daytime. So obviously we're going to have to try to evaluate that, you know, amongst the other questions that we look at. Yeah, Liev, go ahead. Okay, so that could be a machlokas rishonim. Let's see what the Baal HaMor has to say about that. Okay, the Ramban and the Ravid and the Ran. So that's a very important question, right? You're starting now to get back to that issue of or the arbasar. Does it just have to be at night? Or do we think that that's also a practical matter? So let's take a look. This is the Gemara in Daf Dalet. We could have introduced this later, but I just wanted to get it onto the record now. This is after essentially two blot, where the Gemara tries to figure out what does Or mean? Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? The Gemara is very confused and has a beautiful discussion about Balashon Kitzara, that we should be efficient in our language. Then it has a very beautiful discussion about Balashon Naki, that sometimes if we have a conflict between Lashon Kitzara and a more elegant form of speech or more refined form of speech, so we have to weigh those issues. And then the Gemara finally comes back to brass tacks and says, Hashta de Kaimalan. So, Shimi, go ahead.
Hashta de Kaimalan, de la Pule Alma, or to do, Michdi ben Rabbi Yehuda u ben Rabbi Meir, chometz enu asur, ela mishesha salamala, v'nidbo ka v'shes.
Okay, very good. So, you know, when all the dust settles, so once we understand that what the Mishnah meant to say, or l'arbasar, it actually means the nighttime. And again, we're just introducing this now, much more on it later. So it's a little difficult for us to conceptualize why Bedikas Chametz takes place so long before the Zman Isser, wherever you think the Zman Isser starts, on Yedalet itself. Yeah, excellent. Very well done. So this Gemara establishes a couple very, very important principles and seems to get at exactly the discussion that we're having. Now we'll fill in some of the really interesting details that are slightly tangential with Rashi and Tosfos in just a second. But Shimi, in the shock of the Gemara, the Gemara said, okay, you know, well, maybe this is an issue of Zrizin Makdim in the Mitzvos, but really Zrizin Makdim in the Mitzvos starts by Yom, so you want to do it very early in the morning. Alos, Nates, whatever it is, we'll have, can have an interesting discussion about what that would mean, by Yashkem Avraham Baboker. So we could talk about that a little bit, but it still doesn't explain why you'd be doing things the night before. So how did you understand the conclusion of the Gemara?
The conclusion was that it's for practical reasons, because that's where we can actually get people to do it.
Certainly sounds that way. B'shash b'nei adam mitzvim b'vateihen. And that's when people are around. I don't know, if people were around at 3 o'clock, you know, the afternoon before, maybe that would have been the right time. That's when people tend to be home at night, right? You know, people aren't working. Yetzei adam l'fo alola avodaso. They are, people are home. And since it's nighttime, right, and, you know, you live before Benjamin Franklin, you know, was born. So what are you going to do for a light source? Or haner, yafel lebedika. So it's sort of like in the direction of Tosefta, but even more so, right, that it appears to be an extremely practical orientation. So why is our shul scheduling a program for Sunday at 10:30 and not at noon? Well, that's when people will show up. So that's when we're doing it. Right? This is not gzeiras hakasev. It's not that this is the halacha. This is okay. So at 10:30 in the morning, you know, let's say, what's that? It's going to take the analogy to, you know, one step further. So at 10:30 in the morning, so there's no expectation. Let's say the pre-COVID era, there's no expectation you're going to serve somebody lunch, right? So why is it at 10:30? That's when people will come. Why is there no lunch? Because it's 10:30. So what emerges from this discussion on Daf Dalet doesn't appear to be that the definition of Bedikas Chametz is Lo Haner. Just has to be that way. And this is not the only data point. That's why we have to do a lot of work. But Shimi, we're in agreement that it sounds like the Tosefta, but maybe even just a little bit more so. Right? And Liv, to your question, which was really the question that you posed a second ago, would you concede, at least based on this Gemara, that it's conceivable that you could do it another time?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like we're married to this idea of Orli Arbasar. But there is one detail in the Gemara I think that should bother us. If we take this hyper-pragmatic perspective, Eitan?
The fact that they'd be nimna
mitzvos. Exactly. The fact that the Gemara, of all things, chooses to hold its ground against Talmud Torah, a little bit surprising. So the extension of Abai, if you think it's just really practical, and then that's when people are around, so I just wait an hour till, you know, Tzur B'mei Rabbanan finishes his Tzur B'mei Rabbanan. And I mean, that too may be Machlokas Rishonim. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's really important that it happens then, right? That's the one piece of hesitation you walk away from. Because Abaye sounds a little bit of a different note than you have in the Gemara up until now. It's very, very, very rare that the Gemara says things like, a person shouldn't start learning. It happens, but very rarely. It has to be like a really good reason, something like Mikra Megillah. And even then, the Gemara is a little skeptical. Talmud Torah D'Yachid, maybe not Talmud Torah D'Rabim. So the fact that the Gemara is really concerned, or at least Abaye is really concerned, it's got to make you wonder a little bit about the pragmatic direction that we're taking based on the Tosefta and the Bavli. If that's where the Gemara ended, I would have said 100%. But Abaye makes me wonder. It gives me pause. I don't know exactly what to make of it. There's also some interesting practical, you know, sub-questions that we can ask. You know, like how much of a chashash of Asi L'Yimshuche really is there? Let's say it's not a Tzur B'mei Rabbanan. Let's say it's somebody who you're not so worried about. Maybe we'll say, let the guy learn on the afternoon of the 13th going into the 14th. It's not such a chashash. Or is it a low plug? How seriously do we take this? Okay, so let me just, you know, get in. And even though they're somewhat tangential to our discussion, so Shimbi, can you just fill in the Rashi and then the Tosos? I just, you know, feel like it's malpractice not to at least put this on the radar.
Ben Rabbi Meir, Ben Rabbi Huda.
Yeah.
The flugel of Lachitin, the Harchacha, the Avod, the Rabbanam, the Raisa, Chametz, Eno, Asar, Minator, Avaboy, Raya, Ube, Achila, Ella, Misha, Shows.
All right, so here, yeah, the Raivet again is doing backflips, okay?
Misha, Misha, Rua, She, Shows, Kidlis, Lakaman.
Okay, so that's the Daraisa. So Nivdok Vishis. Right, it's only once we've determined that we really mean nighttime that we have this problem, because, you know, why in the world are we so anxious about this? So Nivdok Mitzafra, that would, you know, satisfy us, we would think, in terms of Zrizin Matim and the Mitzos. Really? Very fascinating. So Rashi, just in terms of the sugya of Zrizin Maktim L'Mitzvos, how does Rashi define it? Anybody pick up on the diok in Rashi? Yeah. A little bit. Eitan? What does Rashi think together of Zrizin is? A little surprising. It says it can't be Belila, but it's actually not. Right? It's actually before Nitzachama. That's a very important issue, because that gets into questions of, is it really even Yom? Very good. Excellent, Elon. Do you want to just fill in what you mean by that?
Yeah, and based on how he says that the day starts at Alos.
Okay. So there's a whole discussion based on Psukim regarding the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, where the pasuk says Hayom Melacha, and it says that we're working all the way from Alos to Tzeis. So that would appear to be the implication, that if you wait till Netzachama, it's no longer begeder zrizin. Let's just take a look over at Tosfos. I wanted you to see this. This is a Tosfos that gets a lot of people's attention. Vayashkim Avram Baboker is an expression that appears no fewer than three times in Parshas Vayira, so we're not exactly sure which one the Gemara is talking about. The Vayashkim Avram Baboker El HaMakom Asher Amad Shem is Pnei Hashem. That's in the context of Sodom. Vayashkim Avraham Baboker Vaykach Lechem Bechim Asmayim. That's in the context of Yishmael. And Vayashkim Avraham Baboker Vaychavosh Eschamuro Vaykach Ashneina Rav Yito Vayis Yitzchak Beno Vayivakad Seola Vayakum Vayilech El HaMakom Asher Amar Lo Lokim is the context of the Akedah. So the Bali and Tosfos weren't sure at first which one we were talking about. Okay, so go ahead, Shemi. And even more importantly, Vein Maktim and Tvei Mitzafra, the Hobbit Parakid Anasha, Yalifer Bivo Mihaikra. Now again, you know, that's always subject to what we call Hezek HaMatzoy or Hezek Kavua, but this principle of Shulchei Mitzvah in a Nizakin, he wouldn't have been so afraid to go out at night if he was really involved in a mitzvah. Okay. He wasn't Yechidi either, right, in the context of the Akedah. So the Bali Tosfos is saying that this pasuk is really the pasuk of the Akedah in terms of proving Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvos. The Hasam, that other pasuk, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker El Makom Asher Amad Shem Mispnei Hashem by Sodom. So both of the comments that the Bali HaTosfos make happen to be debatable. Number one, right, de lo haya mitzvah, why is that not obvious at all? V'yashkeim Avraham b'boker el makom asher amad shem b'pnei Hashem, Eitan? Yeah. That's the source that the Gemara Masech de Brachos quotes for the mitzvah of tefillah. Second of all, V'yichidi haya shelo ratza sheyiru b'mapalasan shel Sodom. So many of the Rishonim assume that Avram actually went to go back. I don't think this is the pshat, but they actually believe that he went back to Davin again at the last minute, and then v'yashkev al p'nei Sodom amarav al kol p'nei eretz hakikar v'yar v'nei Allah ki torah tiki torah kivshan, and he saw that it was too late. Anyway, so both points that the Bali HaTosfos raised, that Avram knew that it was over, as well as the fact that it wasn't l'shem mitzvah, are debatable points. They're debated by Rishonim. But be that as it may, what emerges from this Tosfos is actually something very beautiful. That what's really the source of Zrizin Makdim and the Mitzvos? Yeah. And there we know what was motivating Avram. Rashi makes this comment. Well, in the end, right, it's Atayadati Kireya Lukimata Velo Chasachta Esbinchas Yechidecha. That's definitely true. But Beyashkeim Avram Bavoker, Rashi has an important comment on that pasuk. Beyachavosh Eschamaro, Ilan Gehag. Ava Mekalkelos Es Ashura. That really, Zerizos, the idea of a person doing a mitzvah at the earliest possible time is a deep reflection of Avas Hashem. The Rambam, in his Perash HaMishnayos on Avos, makes the argument in the Mishnah of Antignos Yisocho, Al tu kavadim ha-mishamshin esarav al-menas l'kabal pras, Al tu kavadim ha-mishamshin esarav, either al-menas shalom l'kabal pras, which I like, or shalom al-menas l'kabal pras, and l'olam temor ha-shamayim aleichem, says that mitzvos asay are driven by ahava, and los asay is driven by yira. The Ramban agrees very famously and says that's why Aseh is docha los Aseh. It's greater to be an Oved Me'ava than to be Oved Me'ira. So it happens to be a very beautiful thing. The Gemara derives the principle of Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvos from the Akedah, that even though this was a terrible mitzvah, Aseh, from a human point of view, Abram responded with Zrizos. Okay. That's an important point in its own right. So back to Rashi. Or haner yafel b'dika.
B'layla. Aval b'yom machshe.
Okay.
V'im tomar yivdok lo hayom hayal fina na l'kaman machipush shemetzos avaner.
So this is obviously a landmark Rashi for our discussion. Okay, so just 1 second. So let's just develop this point out in Rashi. Rashi admits that Or Haner Yafel Abdika, and leave, this is, I assume, what you were mechabing to. Or Haner Yafel Abdika, that really should only be true about Laila. Aval b'yom machshech. Right, it's not just that you have other sources of light during the day, but that the Or Haner itself doesn't work so well during the day. We're going to come back to that point. But that's what Rashi seems to be saying. Aval b'yom, he doesn't say mayahani, or what does it add? Machshech. It actually, the light of the candle doesn't work so well during the day. It's dim. So, v'im tomar. So, go ahead again, Shemi. V'im tomar yivdok lo'or hayom. Right, because if it's just really practical, so let's say I could get everybody together at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what's Rashi's response to that? Shemitzvaso b'ner. Rashi is saying what, Rami?
It's actually not practicality. It's actually the definition.
This is the definition of the mitzvah. Shemitzvaso b'ner. That's the takana. Or, that's the Din d'oraisa, depending on where you come down on that issue. But that the nature of b'dikas chametz simply demands an air, mitzvaso b'ner. So we're going to have a lot more to say about the daytime, because would you still insist on that? Let's say a person is a posheya, and they don't do it at night. So now they have to do b'dikas chametz during the day. Are we still going to insist on you using an air? That's a very important question. The Rishonim were very torn about that question. They say maybe it depends which day you're talking about. Maybe it's Gimel versus Yadal. That's not an obvious issue at all. But Rashi here is crystal clear. Mitzvaso b'ner. That this is the definition of b'dikas chametz. And then what flows very naturally from that? Now Abaye's comment isn't counter the flow of the Gemara, but it's a natural extension of the Gemara. Once you're going to say that this is the din of B'dikas Chametz, Hein Midoraisa, Hein Midorabanan, this is the din, Or Li'Abasar, Bod Kenes HaChametz, Le'Or HaNer, that's the way it has to look. So if that's true, we've really got to be protective of that time. Hilka, Chai, Tzur B'Mirabanan, so go ahead, Shemi. Be'orat ha'tefleis ar nigi ar besar, le'al yitzia shloshasar,
shehu knisa arba asar, v'hu le'al b'gachah.
Leil Yitzia Shloshasar Shehu Knisas Arbasar Vehu Leil B'dikas Chametz Vehu Leil B'dikas Chametz. Anybody reflect on this in your chavrusas at all? What is Rashi saying? To say, "Be'oris at the place or nigi arbeis or leil yitzia shloshar sar shu knisa sarbo sar v'hu leil b'dikas chametz ben Zion or Zionides, as I know now you're referred to."
You would think that really the reason why the significance, I guess, of this night is that it's the night before Pesach, and hence we have to do b'dika because it's practically the night before Pesach. But Rashi making it sound like foundationally is
special aspect of this night that there's an element of the Bedikas Chametz.
It's the Leil Bedikas Chametz. It's like Leil HaSeder. Just like a chalos to this night. Leil Bedikas Chametz. It's defined by Bedikas Chametz. So I have to figure out what that means. I'll probably need Yerushalmis and Midrashi Halacha to make full sense of it before we're done. But if it's true, it'll help me understand one thing very well, which is why Rashi's quoting it here. That if this is the Leil Bedikas Chametz, it's defined by Bedikas Chametz, that Bedikas Chametz is the mitzvah of this night, so you might even be willing to say at the expense of what? Which is normally our cardinal value, Eitan? Talmud Torah? So Abaye wasn't just, you know, saying, you know, he could have chosen a lot of reminders, you know, don't start watching, I don't know, Thursday night football, right? Don't start watching your favorite, cooking reality show, you know. So Abaye was actually making a very important point. If it's Leil Bedikas Chametz, if that's the defining aspect of this night, so you know what's a really good outer boundary for that? Saying that we're going to put Talmud Torah on hold. That's a nuclear option. We never do that. Right? The B-29s are always flying in the sky. 365, 24/7. Leave.
So a couple of things. First of all,
yes.
First of all, seemingly according to Rashi, the deep could only take place on the 14th. It couldn't be on the 13th or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also...